Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Paul Winter, and he's very keen to spread the word about alternative cancer treatments. He has been an energy healer for 25 years and a hypnotherapist for 15 years, and he is the author of a book called The Intuition Toolbox. So welcome to the program, Paul.
Well, thank you, Mike. I'm really excited to be on such a thrilling program as yours.
That's nice of you to say that. Now, I think the first question has to be, for me anyway, is there something special in your background that has brought you to this particular aspect of healing, that you have this interest in alternative cancer cures?
Well, I always have been interested in health and fixing people and fixing things, but the thing that really brought me towards alternative cancer was the passing of my sister. She died at 35, and it was really tragic. She did a great job of fighting cancer. She was diagnosed at 18, so
gosh,
I knew that there were things that could be done, but I wish I knew then what I know now.
Right. How far back was that?
She
was 35.
Yeah, that was 1983.
Right, so okay. So have you been in the cause to spread this information around ever since that time, or did it take you a while to find your feet, as you might say?
Well, I really wasn't motivated to have anything to do with cancer after my sister's passing. It was just a subject that I couldn't contemplate. But about 1998, a friend of mine sent me a magazine article about Cantron. Some people call it Cancel, and it showed how the National Cancer Institute had falsified their testing of Cancel. And I thought, you know, I'm probably the right person to spread the word about this, because it was not on the internet. Because I put it up on the internet, you know, as soon as I learned about it. I did also verify it. I actually contacted the National Cancer Institute and asked them for their test results. And it's an amazing thing that they did. They tested Cancel. It was then being sold as Cantron. They tested it, and it did great in the tests. And then they wrote the test summary and said that it showed no biological activity. So I put it up on the web because I was outraged. And then I became more and more involved gradually as people started asking me about it and I researched it and found out more.
Why do you think that some of these institutions seem dead set against alternative cures?
Well, the amount of money that's involved, you know, the typical cancer patient will spend at least $200,000 of their insurance and their own money to try and cure themselves of cancer. And so these conventional cancer treatments, you know, they're $30, $40, $50 a month. So the pharmaceutical companies, the doctors, the hospitals, they're going to lose billions of dollars if the word gets out that these treatments are really viable.
Mm. So, and what do you define as alternative treatments, incidentally? Do you consider that to be anything that's natural?
Actually, some of the alternative cancer treatments I would not call natural. This one, Cancel, is made in the laboratory. It's not natural at all. Therefore, it could be patented. But there are problems. There would be if anybody tried to patent it, there would be a patent fight. And what would turn out is that nobody could prove that they have the rights to the patent. So most of the alternative cancer treatments are plant-based. They are natural. But some of them, like Cancel, are not natural. And, of course, the ones that are natural, they could never be prescribed by the pharmaceutical-driven conventional medicine.
So what is it about Cancel that is not natural then? I mean, does it also support some kind of drug?
Well, you know, all of the, you know, everything on the earth, of course, can be found in nature. But the way Cancel is made, it's not an extract from a plant. If you looked at the ingredients, you would say, well, you know, these are more like chemicals than they are extracts. It's a simpler formula than, let's say, another treatment called pawpaw. Now, pawpaw is, you know, definitely an extract from a tree, and if you looked at the chemical analysis of it, the molecular structure of it, you would say, yes, clearly plant-based. But if you looked at Cantron or Cancel, you would see that it's much more of a chemical formula.
Right. But it's one, presumably, that in your opinion or experience is not damaging in any other way.
That's correct. One of the beautiful things about it is that the body can only absorb a certain amount of it, only can absorb actually a small amount of it, like on the neighborhood of a quarter of a teaspoon. So whatever else that you swallow, let's say if you drank a whole bottle of it,
yes,
it just wouldn't be absorbed by the body, and it would just pass out. You can imagine drinking a whole bottle of chemo. That would kill you instantly.
Right. I mean, is this particular alternative cure one that you are very keen on, or is that just one of many?
Well, it is the one that I started with, and it is the one that I did a study to determine whether it really worked. I withheld ordering information from people on my website, and I said, you would have to email me to get the ordering information, and then I would have a contact. And then, you know, I would check up on those people, and I actually published the results of that informal, you know, and of course, not purely scientific study, but the results were very interesting. The result I got was the same as what the developer got. 50% of the people that used it correctly were successful. And that's a staggering, that's a much more successful number than conventional medicine.
Yes, indeed. Getting back to the NCI, if they issue their findings on other types of treatments, and for some reason, even if they intended to, they were not correct, is there nobody that is able to challenge them and sort of have it amended and then reissued?
Well, we think the same way, Mike. I contacted class action law firms, and I said, isn't there some way that these people can be held accountable? And their response was, because I could not directly connect a death, even one death, to their lie, then they could not be sued. And it turns out that the way that organization is structured, even though they get $4 billion of the United States taxpayers' money every year, they are not accountable. They are accountable to no one. The money is decided, how much money they get is decided by a presidential decree, and there's no appeal, there's no checks and balances, they're not accountable.
That's quite amazing, really, isn't it? So it's down to people like yourself to raise the awareness amongst people. Now, you've mentioned in your articles energy medicine. Now, what is that?
Well, there's a wide range of energy medicine out there. The one that I use the most really started back in 1950 with a scientist over in Germany who, Dr. Vohl, he showed that when a person holds a substance in their hand, for instance a poison, that the body responds to it. The body responds to the energy signature of that thing. And it turns out that our bodies are brilliant, and we can work with these different energies. For instance, I sell a test kit where each of the vials in the test kit have been imprinted with an energy medicine machine to have the same exact energy signature as one of 12 different alternative cancer treatments. So a person who would be using energy medicine can hold one of these vials and ask their body questions. Your body is brilliant. Your body has no trouble understanding a question. The problem we have is getting the answer out of our body, you know, because the subconscious mind doesn't communicate very well with the conscious mind. But there are ways to do this. You know, you can tell your body, for instance, that spinning a pendulum in a clockwise direction, that means yes, or spinning a pendulum in a counterclockwise direction means no. So then you can hold a treatment in your hand or a vial that has the same energy signature as a treatment, and you can say, is this the best cancer treatment for me? And then you hold the pendulum, and you relax as much as you can, and you let your body make the pendulum move. And then your subconscious mind can communicate to you. So your body recognizes the energy signature, and you ask it questions, and you can get answers. So this is one type of energy medicine. I can go on about other types.
Well, if there is any particular one that you're keen on mentioning, please go ahead.
Okay. Some people may have heard of these biofeedback machines. They're sometimes called quantum biofeedback machines, and they have thousands of energy signatures in them. For instance, I use one of them myself. One of the signatures in there is a healthy adrenal gland, and you can hook yourself up to the machine, and the machine shows your body how a healthy adrenal gland should vibrate or what its energy signature should be. And the body often says, yes, that's how my adrenal gland should vibrate. I'm going to give it that energy. So in a way, all that's really happening is that this machine is presenting energy in a vibrational mode or a vibrational form to the body. And the body says, yes, that's the correct way to vibrate, and takes on that energy signature for the adrenal gland. I recently did this, not when I was hooked up, but I did it to a pendant, and just a piece of stone, because as a Emoto, you know, the Japanese photographer who took pictures of those ice crystals,
yes, indeed,
as he showed crystalline structures such as, you know, water is a crystalline structure, even in liquid form, they will absorb the energy signature of anything that's transmitted to it. And so you can take a stone, and with these energy medicine machines, you can imprint the energy signature of anything that's in the machine or anything that you put in the input cup, as some of them have. And so I put the energy signature of a healthy adrenal gland into this pendant and wore the pendant, and in 3 days, my adrenal problems went away. So that's another example of energy medicine. By just carrying around the right energy signature, the body eventually gets it and goes, oh, yeah, that's what I need to do.
Yes. Well, that certainly resonates with me, because everything is energy. So approaching your problems with another form of energy sounds the correct way to do it to me. And I certainly believe in the accuracy of pendulums. I don't use one very often myself, but I have a friend who uses it quite frequently, and I know that what you're saying does work. The pendulum does respond in the way you've indicated. I've never heard of the machines you mention, and this idea of something carrying a signature is quite new to me, so that's quite interesting. Are these machines then available for people to buy, or is it a piece of equipment that only a specialist could afford and would use?
Well, for instance, I have two of these machines. One machine I use to imprint these vials, and that machine only costs about $2,000. But the machine that has all these thousands of different energy signatures in it, that machine costs $18,000. So
right.
That's out of the reach of most people, I think.
Yes. So anyone interested in that would really approach someone who used that method of healing. Presumably, that works for any type of illness then. I mean, you've spoken about cancer and then it helping with an adrenal problem. So it could offer you help in any problems at all that you have within your body.
Yes, it seems to be better in some areas than others, but it works on so many things that I try it for everything. My local thrust is to use it for reducing hot flashes for women who are going through menopause, and it is fabulous for that. One or two treatments, and they disappear, or they don't, because, you know, it's not, you know, sometimes it's not just energetic. It could also be emotional. But for about half the women that I treat with this machine, their hot flashes disappear. Mm. And so I'm a big hit in my town.
Yes, well, the fact that that I've never heard of it doesn't mean anything at all. But having said that, I read a lot of material, particularly on the internet, and I must admit I've never heard of a quantum feedback machine. So it's clearly not getting enough publicity. But coming back to alternative cancer treatments, I had a friend many years ago who opened up a clinic where they specialized in one form of healing, and that was using beetroot juice. Now, it seems to me that some of these cures, and there seems to be 101 different types of natural healing methods, work for some people and not others. So why do you think that is?
Well, that's an excellent question. I do believe that, you know, we are all very unique. We all have a different chemistry, a different body chemistry. And also, different things cause cancer. For instance, sometimes it's purely emotional, but other times it is chemical. And now, the theory of cancer that I believe is the trophoplast theory of cancer. It's 107 years old. It was proposed by Professor Beard at Edinburgh University, and he said, and it's never been disproven, he said that cancer is a failure of the pancreas to shut down fast-growing healing cells that are used in chronic healing. So if you have a parasite in your body, let's say, or a bacteria culture in your body, or a collection of tar in your lungs from smoking, all of these things cause repetitive chronic healing. But if the body's pancreas isn't working well, then it doesn't support the healing process correctly, and these fast-growing cells that were merely there to hold the area open while the healing was progressing, they don't get shut down when they should, and they continue to grow rapidly and become a tumor. So, depending upon what caused the chronic healing, you know, if you can eliminate that chronic healing situation, then you would eliminate the cause of the cancer. And by, you know, just helping the pancreas a bit by, you know, almost everybody knows that when you have cancer, you don't want to be eating sugar, you want to keep your carbohydrates low. So just by doing that, you could help the pancreas enough to overcome the current healing problem, overcome the current tumor. So there are so many different reasons that your body can be in this chronic healing stage in so many different places that you wind up with many different cancer healing modalities.
Yes. Thinking about the different causes of cancer, I was reading an article recently on the internet where there was a qualified person who was quoting his investigations and other people's that believed that some cancers were actually a bacteria. Have you heard of that?
Yes. There's a bacterial theory, there's a viral theory, and I of course, right away would ask, is the cause of the cancer bacterial? Is the cause of the cancer viral, or are they actually saying that the cancer itself is a bacteria?
Mm.
And I think normally what happens is that you get a bacterial colony that is very difficult to get rid of for the body, and so you go into this chronic healing mode. And at some point, the pancreas fails to shut down those cells, and you get the runaway growth, and it becomes a tumor. So a bacteria can cause that, a virus can cause that, tar accumulating in one spot in the lungs, you know, where it's going around a corner, that sort of thing. You know, anything that can cause chronic healing, continuous repetitive healing, I believe is a place where cancer is likely to even form.
Right. Now, I think it's acknowledged that stress causes a lot of ill health. Do you feel that might be a major cause of cancer as well?
Absolutely. It's a key ingredient. I do a lot of phone consultations, and I'll give you an example. Friday, I had a consultation with a man. He's an Australian, and he lives in Thailand, so that's where he started his quest. And for a year, he traveled around. He went to Germany. He went to Mexico. He went all over. He had a two-page case history, which I wanted to read before we talked. And I went through it, and I was amazed. I thought he must have just left this out. So when I talked to him, I said, just let me ask you, what emotional work have you done? And his response was, I haven't done any. And I was amazed, because doctors should know this, because he went to many doctors, many practitioners. So I said, okay, here's the standard question. 1 year before your diagnosis, what happened? And he said, oh, well, I came home one day, and my wife and son had left me. And I said, well, case closed on the cause of your cancer that you have not addressed. You must address that before any of these supplements or treatments are going to work. And I would say that, you know, in my experience, I've seen that to be true about 85% of the time. The classic is a woman whose mother passes away. 1 year later, that woman will come down with breast cancer. That I've seen that over and over again. The really great news, and this is why I feel okay about being on your show. You have such an exciting show, but here's some exciting news. We have stumbled upon, not myself, but you know, healthcare in general has stumbled upon a very, very quick and effective way to get rid of negative emotions, and it's called emotional freedom technique. I bet you've heard of that, Mike.
I'm not too sure. Anyway, no doubt you're going to tell us about that one.
All right. I love the story. This is 20 years ago. You know, it takes time for these things to get out. But 20 years ago, a psychologist was working with a woman who was very afraid of water. She had aquaphobia. And he took her to his house where he had a swimming pool, and he could open and close the curtain on the sliding glass door to try and control her exposure. And he says, okay, I'm going to open the curtain a little bit. And she sees the swimming pool, and she says, oh, my God, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. I'm getting nauseous. Now, he had just finished a class in acupuncture, and he knew that there was a digestive acupuncture point underneath her eye. And he got some inspiration, and he said to her, I'd like you to tap this point underneath your eye and say, I'm not afraid of the water. And she started tapping this point and said, I'm not afraid of the water. And then she looked at him and said, I'm not afraid of the water. and she went outside, still tapping the point, I'm not afraid of the water, I'm not afraid of the water, and eventually was splashing the water on her face. She was cured. And it never was a problem again. So since then, they've developed a series of acupuncture points to tap as you say these affirmations. And you only need to do it once, it seems, for things like a fear of snakes or fear of insects, you know, things that are not emotionally deep. But they've taken groups of people and, you know, split it in half and had one group of people do this for whatever they're afraid of, snakes or insects. And then the other group received standard therapy, you know, just one day of it. And then a year later, they tested these groups again, and the one treatment of the tapping had held. The people's response remained low. You know, they checked pulse and blood pressure, things like that, to measure their fear of these things. And in just one treatment, their phobias were still not a phobia anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's a fabulous treatment, and you can go on to YouTube or Yahoo videos, and you can see many videos of people showing you how to do this. And if anybody wants to email me, I will send them the videos I think are the best, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything. I will soon be making a DVD for cancer patients that includes the affirmations that cancer patients would want to make. So I think it's worthwhile to have me actually go through the agony of creating a DVD.
Right. Well, since you've mentioned your sending your email address, this might be a good time to give your email address out.
Yes. My email address is Paul, my first name, at alternative cancer, and you can just run that together, no space, .us, like United States, or nowadays I'd rather say .us. I answer all email questions without charge, but if someone wants to speak to me, then I do charge, and the reason I charge is because after I talk to someone, I spend hours writing up what we talked about, because I've tried to talk to people on the phone, and after just a short conversation, I say, now I want to make sure you have the details right, and you can look at your notes. What do you know about, what do you understand about this? And every time I did this, they got the details wrong. So I feel that talking to someone on the phone without backing it up with all the details in a written form, I feel that's a waste of time. So I won't do that.
Right. Now, many years ago, I did read a book which was very well illustrated with photographs, which was all to do with acupressure. So this is basically what you're talking about when you say people just tap a pressure point just on one occasion.
Yes, exactly. It's thrilling. It's absolutely thrilling, because people who have suffered with, for instance, post-traumatic stress disorders, which often materialize in their body in ways like back pain and digestive problems, these people have been able to get rid of their problems in one session. It's had some miraculous results. And it desensitizes you to, bad memories, and it also de-stresses you. I really, really hate my boss is one of the common affirmations. It's not actually an affirmation. It's a desensitizing process. There are affirmations and there's desensitizing, but it works.
Yes, I can see that helping people in that way would be beneficial. But what if their stress is something that is entirely down to them, like being unable to control their temper and being in anger? I mean, you could cure the problem, but how do you stop it from coming back?
Oh, Mike, we think exactly alike. And anger is the most health-destroying emotion. And there is a nice little simple technique. It takes about 5 seconds to do, and it lasts for about 2 or 3 weeks. I use it myself because, unfortunately, I am an angry person. I drive a 1200cc motorcycle just so that nobody can mess with me on the highway. But I'll explain the technique if we have time. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
And I owe this to a dear friend of mine, Steve Kuntz. I'll mention his name. He's not a practitioner, but he's retired. But when the thing happens that gets you angry, if you have just 5 seconds, you recognize that the anger is ego-driven, and it's the energy of it is in your head. So if you can pull whatever feeling you have that's in your head or around your head, if you can pull that down into your heart area, you can start to transform that. And once you pull it down, and that takes about 2 seconds, then what you want to do is imagine a scene that tickles you or that charms you. For instance, I have a little dog, not that little, but little enough that when my dog knows I'm going to go out, my dog spins around. So what I do is I take this energy that's in my head, I pull it down into my heart area, and I imagine my little dog spinning around, and it's gone. But, you know, there are lots of anger techniques like this that I've tried, but they don't stop the angry reaction the next time. This one does. And it lasts, like I say, 2 or 3 weeks. I can do things that normally would get me angry, and I go, aha, I'm not angry. That's great. And I look at my dog, and I thank my dog. But any cute thing.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, I know from personal experience on my wife's side, her family relations, including cousins and people like that, seem to have an unusual amount of serious illnesses. They have glandular problems, tumours and things like that. And the reason I'm mentioning it is I'm going to ask you, do you think it is in some way hereditary or due to genetic programs being passed on?
Well, one thing we all recognize as being genetic or hereditary, actually hereditary, is the way people interact. You know, angry people often have angry parents. That's how they see people reacting. So the way someone is brought up often affects how they respond to their environment. And also the fact that they may have lived in the same house for 20 years. That house may be what we call a toxic house. This is very prevalent in new construction where there's a lot of formaldehyde. Formaldehyde causes cancer, you know, because it gets into your body, it's carcinogenic, and you get into that repetitive healing mode. So I wish that this particular profession I'm about to mention, I wish it was more prevalent. Probably people can't find someone to do this, but there are people around that can go into your house and they can measure the electromagnetic pollution, which is quite serious. They can measure gases, different gases like formaldehyde, and they sometimes make recommendations like, you have to remove all your carpet, I'm sorry. But sometimes the recommendations are easy, like you need to twist all the wires that are running around your bed, because that will scramble the electromagnetic pollution. Electromagnetic pollution has become a really serious problem. My education is actually electrical engineering, and it's amazing how much electromagnetic energy is now in the air. You know, every cell phone that transmits not only goes to the tower, it goes through everybody in the neighborhood. It goes through everybody between you and the tower. And that's a lot of transmitters. Every little transmitter that that's on a police car, that's a lot of power, actually. But you know, we are constantly being irradiated. Now, somebody figured out how to protect the body from this radiation, and they were able to put it into a pendant. And they call these protection pendants, but they were $160. I think that's a bit too much money. But I live in the Sedona area of Arizona, and this is where all the healers have congregated. And there's a group here that said $160 is too much. We're going to design our own, and they sell them for $100. They're letting me sell theirs for $90. And I think everybody needs to wear these nowadays, or live in a house where the walls are lined with aluminum foil. But you need to be aware of the electromagnetic pollution and do something about it. So that's my engineering story. Do you have any more questions, Mike? Oh, Mike, did we lose the connection? I don't hear you.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay. I'm still with you. I was going to ask you, since you've mentioned the subject of radiation, which I was going to ask you about, how serious you think it is from mobile phones?
I think it's a very serious. It's huge business, but you can still find studies where they show that a transmitter right next to your ear is going to damage your brain. This is electromagnetic radiation, similar to what a radar puts out. Now, radars, you know, I was actually a radar engineer, so I know this area a little better, but the power of a radar, of course, is extreme, but it's the same stuff. And there was no way we would ever stand in front of a transmitting radar. And it's the exact same thing. It's like putting your head in a microwave, but to a much lesser degree, but still damage occurs. And that's the thing. When you're constantly damaging a part of your head, your brain, it's going to go into that healing mode, and it'll probably recover, but if it's constantly in a healing mode, then you run the risk of cancer, because sooner or later, your pancreas will get run down and may not be able to perform its part in the healing process, and that's how a tumor happens. So anything that causes constant healing is something you have to avoid, and that's what a cell phone does. I use the cell phone as an emergency, but when I do use it, I put it on speaker. I keep it away from me because that's a hot transmitter. When I talk at home, like now I'm on a wired phone, but if I need to use my wireless phone, I always put it on speaker, and I'm going to plug a company now because there's one company that makes a better speaker phone than anybody else, it seems, and I hope we don't get sued, but Panasonic. Panasonic speakerphones are fabulous. I often tell people, I always speak on a speakerphone and I keep it away from me, and they say, "You're kidding. You're on a speakerphone now?" And I tell them, "Anytime you talk to me, I'm probably on a speakerphone." And they say, "We can't believe that." So Panasonic's the one. And I think it's worth spending a little more to protect your brain.
Well, it's a very well-known company, isn't it? I'm wondering about the power of self-healing, what your experience is maybe there, because what brings it to mind is when you have these trials and a certain percentage of, say, medicines or whatever are placebos, people still seem to be cured. And you have to think to yourself, because they believe they are actually having the treatment, somehow they're self-healing. What are your thoughts about that?
I find that amazing. The placebo effect is 20%. That's very high. It's actually higher than some chemos.
Right.
You know, this is one of the reasons belief is so powerful. And this is one of the reasons why when people ask me, they ask me this question. They say, "My friend has cancer. It looks like he's going to do the conventional stuff. I think the conventional stuff is terrible, and I want to talk him out of it. Should I?" I always say the same thing. I say, look, if he believes that it's going to work for him, then that's one of the most powerful healing things there is, and you don't really have a right to interfere with that. So belief is tremendously strong. If you go to my website, you'll see I talk a lot about selecting a cancer treatment, and I say the best way is to use energy medicine. But if you know someone who used a certain alternative cancer treatment and it worked for them, then you have belief in that treatment, and that's very powerful. You should not ignore that. Most people using alternative cancer treatments will use 3, even 4 treatments. So I say, that's fine, but make sure that they don't conflict with each other. And that's what I spent a lot of time. That's what my website is dedicated to, is showing what treatments conflict with what other treatments, so you don't wind up going backwards. And also I say that if you're going to use 3 or 4 treatments, then pick each one of those differently. Pick one of them using energy medicine. Pick one of them because you have belief in it. Pick another one because someone else succeeded with it. Pick another one because your research showed you that it was the best. And then you have 3, and you're really kind of covering all of the methods of selecting.
Right. Now, you're talking about energy quite a lot, and sound is an energy. Have you heard of many instances, for example, where sonic healing has been effective?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm in this area, that I live in the Sedona area, because I want to learn from other healers. And in this area, the woman who I feel is the most powerful healer, she uses sound. Her name's Dixie, and she's an incredible psychic also. But she uses sound to heal, quite a bit. And the thing about it is that it's vibration. It's vibration, and the energy that I talk about is also vibration. So they're very similar, and sound of different frequencies will get your body to vibrate at those frequencies. And some frequencies are extremely healing, and it doesn't matter too much if it's energy or what type of vibration it is. Your body will start to absorb it and can heal itself that way.
I have read articles which have had a lot of good points to make about music, particularly classical music, and I was quite interested to read that apparently Mozart's music is particularly good in that area.
Yes. And you know, Mike, I would like to thank you for reminding me of that. I don't remind people of that myself. I kind of let that slip, but music will instantly elevate your condition. I talk a lot about humor, but music is an instant healer. Music is, it instantly changes your mood. So that's an important thing, and I'd like to thank you for reminding me to promote that a bit more.
Right.
I have a humor book that I almost always give to anyone who hires me for a phone consultation, and I make an agreement with them that if they agree to read 2 to 5 pages right before they fall asleep, I'll just send it to them. And it seems everybody takes me up on that one.
Right. So, talking of books, incidentally, what is your book, The Intuition Toolbox? Is that in any way connected with healing?
I do use intuition for one of my other healing techniques, which has to do with inflammation, joints, sprains, and things like that, but not with cancer. Although I use intuition to pick, like if I go to the store and I want to pick some type of vitamins, let's say B vitamins, I'll get all the brands of B vitamins and line them up, and I'll feel the energy. And some people think that's intuition, but you know what? Now that I think about it, it's really not. That book, The Intuition Toolbox, is really about using intuition to make decisions. For instance, should I buy this used car? And it turns out that our bodies can sense future events, especially near future events, and that's been scientifically proven. But our bodies know things that our conscious mind does not know, and it's really the subconscious mind. So what that intuition toolbox is mostly about is ways to connect with the subconscious mind and get the answers, get the decision. Should I do this or shouldn't I do this? And the toolbox has a lot of training material in it. For instance, you train yourself to sense changes, like if you pour salt into the rice, when should you stop pouring the salt? And can you sense the right moment to stop pouring the salt? And almost all good cooks can do that, but they say it's experience, but it's really intuition. So I teach things like that in that book.
Right. Well, you've conveniently came on to my next question. How much does a healthy diet help?
A healthy diet helps tremendously. It's the pancreas that is being overstressed by our current diet. Cancer increased dramatically when we started using sugar in our diet. They've done studies. There's the Mexican study where hundreds of women were given low-carbohydrate meals, and other ones were given high-carbohydrate meals. That went on for quite a while. And the conclusion was just obvious, that the high-carbohydrate meals increase the risk of cancer, because the pancreas has to produce so much insulin that it doesn't have time to produce the other things that help it take care of cancer. So, you know, anything you can do to help the pancreas diet-wise is going to be cancer preventative.
Right. So, obviously, sugar is a big factor in this, so you cut it out, or at least cut it down. Is there any other easy item that perhaps we normally expect to eat on a day-to-day basis that would be good to try and cut out?
Yes. Oh, good questions, Mike. We tend to eat the burnt parts of our food. We say, oh, darn it, we burnt it, but we don't want it to go to waste. Do not eat that. The burnt parts of your food have chemicals in it that the normally cooked food doesn't. It transforms into some really bad things. So, you know, cut off the burn part. Don't eat that. And that's, you know, as far as food is concerned, you know, not eating high carbohydrates such as white flour and white rice. Those are things that really make it difficult for your pancreas to stop producing insulin. There are some things that the pancreas really uses nicely, and that's millet. Millet and mung beans have things in it that are very good for the pancreas. Because most people don't see mung beans too often, but you can find mung bean noodles in Asian stores, and sometimes it's called bean thread. And millet is a grain that you can find in many health food stores. And if anybody emails me and asks me for my millet muffin recipe, I guarantee you will love them. They're gluten-free, and they're a little bit complicated to make because they have all those strange flowers in them like xanthan gum. But they're very enjoyable, and they're great for your pancreas.
Well, that's interesting. You seem to have a very good coverage of the subject, I must say. What do you think are the best institutions or charities that people should donate to if they want to support research? Because it seems to me that, particularly in Great Britain, millions of pounds are donated to research, but here we are still without a conclusive answer.
I would say don't waste your money, because the conventional medical industry has proven that they do not want to find a cure for cancer. The alternative medicine establishment has good treatments for cancer. I don't think I'm allowed to say cure. They'll kill me. But, you know, there are, because you can take 3 and 4 different alternative cancer treatments, you can start to bring your success rate close to 80%. And in other words, there really are good cancer treatments out there. The one I mentioned, CanCell, now sold as Cantron or Protocell. Pawpaw, which is an extract from the pawpaw tree, very similar to Graviola, Essiac-T. I could go on and on about ones that have shown really good results. As far as I'm concerned, the cure for cancer is there. If you look at a whole group of the alternative cancer treatments, if you use a good method to select a few, then you have a cancer cure. Not any one of them is a cure, but approaching it with good treatment selection techniques gives you a cure, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And, yeah.
Now, we're heading towards the last 5 minutes of my program, and I have to take the last couple of minutes to tell people who's coming on next week. There's one aspect I haven't asked you about, so a reasonably short reply would be welcome. You've practiced hypnosis, hypnotherapy. Of what value is that in treating cancer?
I think it's invaluable. It definitely should be a part of everybody's approach. I will just say that a lot of hypnotherapists are making the mistake of directing the immune system to attack the cancer cells. The immune system will not attack cancer cells. You want the pancreas to do that. I do sell two different alternative cancer hypnosis CDs that understand this difference and make this difference. And I think that anybody who has cancer should consider going to a hypnotherapist and explaining to them that you want your pancreas directed to attack the cancer, or you can go on my website and purchase my CDs, and I would love that. Thanks for asking, Mike.
Now, something else I believe you should mention is your quarterly alternative cancer newsletter.
Yes, I try to come out with that quarterly, but it's quite difficult. And anyone who goes to my website, you can use the search function. It's up in the upper left-hand corner. You click on that, and if you just entered newsletter, you'll see places that you can click on to email me, or just email me and say you want to be on my newsletter, or email me and ask me anything, and you'll see the newsletter link at the bottom of my signature block. Okay, Mike, I wasn't ready for that one.
Right, well, I mean, you've got something that, to my mind, is worthwhile subscribing to, so it's worth getting that one over.
Thank you.
I'm looking down my little list of prompts here to ask you a final question. I suppose, really, I could ask you, what message would you have for people that currently have cancer problems? What would your best advice be?
I would advise them to consider that the safer treatments, the ones that do not damage your body, might be the ones to take first. And then if those don't work, then take the more dangerous or conventional treatments. Unfortunately, it's usually done the other way around, which doesn't make much sense.
No, right. Okay, I think we're nearly up to my last 2 or 3 minutes, and it's been a very interesting interview with you. It's surprising to what extent your idea of spreading the word goes. I mean, you're getting into so many different subjects. You've obviously studied it very carefully. So if someone comes on to you, you're working yourself with all these different alternatives or with your own energy healing, etc. I mean, do you give courses of healing? I suppose that's what I'm really trying to ask you.
Well, you know, I think the most effective thing that I've been able to do is to have a phone consultation with people. When I get done talking to them, they say, you know, Paul, I had no idea what to do. Now I have a clear plan. And you can hear the relief, because to have a clear plan, and one that's going to be written up and documented, and that applies to their situation, that relieves a lot of stress, and it's hard to go through the internet and find what's going to be right for you. So I think I've been able to help a lot of people by spending 2 hours on the phone with them and then a couple of other hours, you know, writing it up. But that seems to really help people. So
right, Paul. Final question.
Yes.
Give them your telephone number.
Oh, I don't give out my phone number.
Oh, you don't? Okay, that's all right,
no.
Then.
It's the email address. I'll answer any email question for free, and if they want a phone consultation, they can see the link on my webpage for the phone consultation up on the right, upper right.
Great. It's been wonderful to have you on the program. Terrifically interesting. Thank you for coming on, Paul. I wish you every success in your mission to spread the word. And for my listeners, I will say next week we'll see the return of Stephen Sindoni. You may recall he's an author and filmmaker. He's actually a modern-day adventurer who, some while ago, rediscovered ancient caves going back thousands of years which contained many old artifacts, and he's an extremely interesting character. So thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.
Well, Mike, that was great.